This episode of Neckbreaker is officially brought to you by ClickAticket.com. They have tickets for thousands of events, including Coolio, Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, Atlanta Braves games, because obviously they're on a roll, and so much more.
And now check it. This is how we do it. ClickAticket.com is offering away 5% discount on any ticket purchase. Enter ClickAticket on Ask Jeeves or Alta Vista, find an event, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout.
One more time! Visit Click a Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout for your 5% discount. And now, enjoy the show to infinity and beyond.
Welcome to a special 1995 themed episode of Neckbreaker.
The brought only to you by Surge!
And what was the big Pepsi that they put out with Shaq?
The Big Slam?
Big Slam. Was that a 95 deal?
Yeah, I got bus around then.
That's gotta
be. I
think
it was earlier, 92, 93 in there.
Yeah, because when did Shaq get signed?
Like 92, 93.
Yeah.
But then by the time he got his Pepsi.
He got rich playing in college.
Well, of course, right?
Louisiana State University?
I just remember the movie Blue Chips.
Yeah, I know. With Nick Nolte?
Yeah.
We went and watched, we saw that movie.
And Anne Freddie Hardaway is
and
in it.
And fake, yeah. Chris Mullen.
Had you watched 30 for 30 on that?
I have not.
It was all 90s Orlando Magic. We were drunk at the bar waiting for the other bands to play before Abbath. Yeah, High on Fire and whoever else. Me and Sarah just drinking margaritas or wine. Watching the 30 for 30. It was all 90s
Orlando
Magic.
Do you watch 30 for 30s?
If it's on at the bar, yes. Everyone that I've seen has been entertaining.
They're all, for the most part, pretty good.
Well produced.
Yeah. They're short enough, but long enough.
That one was like, I feel like an hour. Was it an hour?
They're usually an hour.
Okay, yeah. An hour, right?
Bill Simmons was at WrestleMania, and he held up his phone with the Patriots while going up booed. And that was the greatest part of WrestleMania.
That was awesome. That was real good.
Wait a second. We're in 1995, too. I meant to say Fruitopia.
Oh, Fruitopia, of course.
Anything, any beverage choices from 1995?
Dude, I can't remember that far back.
I was only chewing Big League Chew for about a year, probably. I know it didn't come out in 95.
They still sell that.
I think I was drinking a lot of Fresca at the time.
Fresca's good stuff. They still sell that, too.
I know.
So I'm your host, Brian Thompson.
Oh, yeah, we're still doing the intro.
I think so, probably.
And Mellow Yellow.
It's a pro wrestling and heavy metal show. You know this by now. This on this week's panel, we have
my
co-host, Mr. Boombastic, John Arbery.
Mr. Loba Loba.
Sir Chris Casares, I didn't have a cool name for you, but that's a cool
Dr.
name in itself.
I'm newly knighted. This is a brand new title. First time ever.
Welcome to the show. If you're not caught up, definitely check out our recent episodes. We've had Double Driver. We've done a ton of WrestleMania 32 coverage, especially over the weekend, before and after the events. Grab the episodes, iTunes, and give us your No Holds Barred reviews.
If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, you're not going to get this one.
You're right. This one's going to go over your head.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Way over your
head. Bad place to jump in.
Yeah.
With this being our 95th episode and with me not booking a guest this week, I thought it was appropriate that we'd shake things up and go back 21 years to 19 goddamn 95. We did a 1985 episode. We had a sound guy. We'd play something, right?
WrestleMania. Where's Linda McMahon? She's not on screen yet because it's 1995.
Is she owning the company because of the steroid bullshit yet? Probably. No, he cleared it in 94, I think, right? That's when he got.
So this is the first year of post-steroid wrestling. Yeah. I can't even say it.
Yes. It's hard to let that fall out of your mouth, but.
It's always hard to let it fall out of your mouth. You always want that back in.
Of course, you always want that. Want to let go of that. 1995.
Dicks.
That was
dicks.
A dick joke? In wrestling?
No.
From what I've gathered on my lengthy research over the past day, okay, maybe I spent 2 hours, but 1995 was a really good year for albums and a really terrible year for professional wrestling. Does that seem about right?
Very top heavy year for wrestling, I think is a good way to put it.
What do you mean top heavy?
You could think of some stuff you liked that was pretty good, and it was all towards the top of the card.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe we'll get into that. Maybe we'll get into that when we get into the pro wrestling side. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. But so what I did is So I searched hundreds of CompuServe chat rooms, of course.
Of course.
And I've gathered a list of some of the top heavy metal albums. I know Chris has some too, and maybe John will think of a couple here and there that we don't come up with.
I could probably name a bug. You got to look them up, but.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm sure. Again,
I bet I could name a lot of them that weren't metal.
Again, I say heavy metal, but you know the deal here, bro.
I get six good albums, and one album I'm not really too sure if I like or not still.
Why don't you put it out there and then tell you, what do you have, Chris? What are some albums that came out? Maybe we'll talk about them.
Well, first and foremost, one that comes to mind was the Nevermore debut full
length. Self-title, right?
Yeah. The Raven shirt was, he had that thing. And then you had Iced Earth's Burnt Offerings, which is another awesome one, had Dante's Inferno on it. Down's Nola.
Nola, yep.
Megadeth's Hidden Treasures, which was like a compilation.
That was
album.
Like an EP, right, I think?
No, it was like 8 or 9 songs, but it was all stuff that was like movie soundtracks that they did. It wasn't like, it was previously recorded stuff, but it wasn't on like an official Megadeth release yet. Still good songs on there, 99 Ways to Die. Gamma Ray,
Land of the Free.
Land of the Free, yeah. And
I didn't have that on my list, but I completely forgot about Gamma Ray.
Yeah.
It's a really good album.
And then Blind Guardian's Imaginations from the Other Side.
Terrible band. Can't stand them.
So a lot of my favorite bands put out albums in 1995.
There's a couple that I'm surprised aren't on your list.
Really?
Do you want... 1995 was a great year for Wu-Tang solo albums, for one.
Wait, what do you mean?
Liquid Swords by GZA came out that year. Only Built for Cuban Links by Raekwon came out there. Those are the two best Wu-Tang solo albums. And Return to the 36 Chambers from Old Dirty Bastard came out that year.
So help me understand it. So did Wu-Tang divide and conquer? Did they split up and say, yo, we're going to do our own shit? Or were they still Wu-Tang?
Just like the Click will.
They're still Wu-Tang.
Yeah, like the Click will take over the North and the South kind of deal, but then
soon.
They're still together.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be a 9-person rap group forever.
Why not?
Because you can do it by yourself. I'm sure.
That's a tight tour bus, isn't it?
I mean, can't see shit anyways, probably.
I was never into Wu-Tang. Once Wu-Tang came about, I sort of exited the rap world. I wasn't interested in anymore.
Now, Bray, you go, because I think you're going to name a few of these, and I'll name the rest of them.
Of course, I stole the list from the internet, CompuServe, of course. But I wrote influential albums. Some of these I'm not even crazy about. I just wanted to write albums of discussion. I mean, Alice in Chains self-titled came out in 95, right? Slaughter the Soul.
That was one of the ones I have right here.
Huge game changer, big time.
Well, yeah, it's the best At the Gates album.
Absolutely the best one. It's all I want to hear live. Really, it's all.
The only thing I
want to
hear live is go,
go. Yeah, of course.
And watching like fucking 2,000 people go go was the best part of seeing them live.
Of course. Chris mentioned Blind Guardian, Imaginations from the Other Side. Death Symbolic came out in 95.
It did, didn't it?
Yes, indeed.
I like Symbolic a lot. It's probably my favorite Death album.
Yeah, again, Down, Nola was... That's kind of... I haven't gotten the chance to get into Down.
That's the one. That's the one.
Yeah, I love Nola.
Yeah, Nola's fucking awesome.
Was there a delay between Nola and the next album?
Yeah.
Like
7 years?
7 years,
something like that.
Down 2, right?
Down 2 was early 2000s.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. I was trying to think of, like, the 2008 album that they came out with.
They were on Ozfest in, like, early 2000s.
Yeah, but on supporting Down, too. They were headlining the second stage.
Yes, they were supporting Down, then...
Speaking of Ozfest, though, Ozzy put out an album in 95 called Osmosis.
And it has one great song on it.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, and it's the first song.
Who do we put on the case? Give me Perry Mason.
Chris, you're a production guy. You do a lot of recordings. A lot of people shit on this production of this album. As usual, Ozzy's production's been flaky throughout the years. Not good.
This was like mid-90s, so it was after, like, you know, playing well mattered. So it's like they didn't really focus too much on making it sound good. They focused on making it sound like Nine Inch Nails so they could sell albums.
Boy, I don't think I've... I think I know two other tracks from that album. Maybe.
Well, there's I Just Want You
Perry Mason,
and that's all I know off of it.
Something, See You on the Other Side, I think. I don't know if that's from that album, right? Yep, I think I've heard that one too. Other than that, I have not heard the full album, and I don't think I need to. Do
you don't.
No, Perry Mason's a really good song, though. That was the album I'm iffy about.
Just that one? Well, anything after that's questionable, too, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, I didn't really do too much research.
No. This, so. No, we've probably done 2 hours of total research for this
doing
episode.
Doing all mine right now.
Yes. We're on the spot, John. That's seat of your pants there. You had an album, John, I think you wanted to drop.
Destroy, Erase, and Proof came out in 95.
Oh, shit. Yeah, 95, right. Yeah. Meshuggah, of course. That was not ahead of its time. Maybe ahead of its time.
That's a pretty wonky album. I mean, it does kind of sound like Static X a little bit in that album, but...
But it's definitely, well, Static X definitely, didn't exactly
it's definitely
come out
wonkier than the rest of the music that came out in 95, that's for sure.
Do you have something else you'd like to drop?
Well, what else do you have?
Dream Theater, Change of Seasons, of course, that they put out a 22-minute epic. It was an EP, more or less. Well, we're already celebrating it. Fear Factory, Demanufacture, came out in 95.
That's not even on any of these lists I have right here. That's a good one, too. That's the only good one.
They're touring that right now, actually, the 25th anniversary, whatever the fuck it comes out to for math. 20th anniversary. 21st, no matter. Immortal.
You can buy alcohol now.
Yes, certainly. That album can drink. Terrible. Immortal put out Battles in the North.
Okay.
What would you like to add to this?
There's
list?
A million things.
We'll
I'm
go
add.
Back and forth. Actually, we'll that's all okay. Right.
So the first Rammstein album came out in 1995.
I lied.
Yeah, I can't say it. So I just said the first person.
Didn't a Marilyn Manson album come out in 95?
Yes, that's the next one I was gonna say. Smells like Children came out.
Yeah,
that was huge. That album blew the fuck up. What was on that album?
Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams,
and a really awesome Patti Smith cover.
I definitely had a Marilyn Manson patch sewed onto my hat in 1995.
Didn't we all?
No.
I doubt you all didn't. Well, Chris was listening to Megadeth.
Yeah, well, in 95, Iron Maiden's X Factor came out.
Yeah, yes, it did.
Was it worth mentioning?
It was the first album where the art was not a drawing. Of Eddie.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It's hideous.
It was like a live action.
Yeah, but what was on that, though? Not,
Oh, gee. I don't remember.
Oh, gee.
Mid-90s Maiden. This is one of the Maiden albums that I never listened to. I probably listened to it twice in my life, actually.
Necrophagus put out a demo in 95.
R.I.P.
Rest.
They're officially done.
Drummer says that, right?
Yeah.
Drummers can be programmed. I feel like he could always shit out. It's been 12 years, though, right?
Yeah.
It's done.
When I saw him with Marco Miniman, like, there's no topping that, in my opinion, so.
I don't get it. Like, they were probably making a shitload of money, or decent money, for that level. Headlining Summer Slaughter and bullshit.
Yeah.
And then, he could just say...
Go on top. He's the Conor... Necrophagus is the Conor McGregor of
metal. Is losing your last fight when you were heavily favored going out on top?
Do you see what Nate Diaz said? No, Nate Diaz said, oh, well, I guess my work here is done. I retire too.
Yeah, because the Diaz brothers are pieces of shit, but they're fucking awesome.
No, that was a good line, because I know McGregor was giving him a lot of shit before the fight.
Yeah.
So it was...
Well, did you hear why McGregor supposedly retired?
Because his friend died.
No. Oh, no. Because
he didn't feel like flying out to Vegas to do press?
I heard...
those are the two things I heard.
I heard he wanted $10
million. He's gay!
He wanted $10 million for 200 to do the 200 pay-per-view. And he wanted $10 million for his draw, and they wouldn't give him that. So he said, fuck it. I'm going to retire. He was probably worth $10 million, too.
Probably.
For that gate.
But Dana White doesn't want to set that precedent.
Nope, because once that door opens, that shit is not closing. Anybody after that who draws those pay-per-view numbers...
Can't do it for you. What if I do it for you? I'll have to do it for Brett.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
Yeah. Fucking, Dana White ain't stupid.
Fucking promoters. So Vince is going to offer him probably...
The question is...
$1 million.
Where's Conor McGregor going to make $2 million for a fight?
He wants a Brock Lesnar WWE deal.
Exactly.
He wants that deal. And you know he does.
That's not really how it works with that.
Yes, it is. That's exactly how it works with that. Oh, name? We don't have to build you up. You're just going to give us draws?
Yep. I bet within the year, if they don't jump on it very quickly, because he's not... He should. He can talk. Right? He can work?
Yeah.
Well, he needs to learn how to work.
He can definitely talk.
He can definitely talk.
And I'm sure he'll be at least.
He puts an ass over 18 inches for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that matters.
But I think if he's playing a game of chicken with Dana White, he's not going to win it.
No.
Oof, yeah.
I think Dana White's a very, he's a proud man.
He's a promoter.
He's proud, but he's smart, and he knows what's going on. He's not stupid. Hmm. You know, people can have their problems with him or whatever, you know, but.
Punk's not doing 200 now, is he? He's still hurt.
I think so.
He made a joke about retiring.
Yeah.
Thanks for the Reeboks.
Yeah, right. 95. What else do you have, John?
The best album that we've named so far that no one's named. Astro Creep 2000 came out in 1995.
My list is alphabetical, but that's a great.
Is it on there?
It is, but that's. I'll continue doing that. But such a good album.
Astro Creep 2000. Fucking. It's really good still.
No, holds
up.
Eat shit.
Nope.
Eat shit.
Nope.
Eat shit.
No.
Not even. So at no point you couldn't get into Zombie at all?
I liked them for like a hot minute back when I was a kid.
Oh, it's still good.
No.
It is.
No. When was that hot minute though?
In
during Astro Creep?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't change what you like.
Yes, I can.
No.
I decided I liked Rage Against the Machine for a hot minute when I was in high school. That changed. I don't like Rage Against the Machine.
But it brought you to the dance. Like, you can't, like, forget.
Oh, that, no, I want to forget things that brought me to the dance. I still like White Zombie. You're allowed to not like it. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you to eat shit.
I don't think so.
Corn sucks.
Don't throw Dracula, it under the rug and go, Dracula, oh, I never liked that at all.
When he started doing that shit, like Dracula, I was like, I'm out. And then he started doing the shit like Edge's theme song that was weak
that
sauce.
First Rob Zombie album's pretty good too.
I did like that album.
Eat shit.
Your entrance theme was probably half of that album. So
yeah, and I cut half of it out.
Dude, give me Danzig over fucking White Zombie any day of the week.
Oh, fart festival. Danzig made one and a half.
I don't
want
to go to that show.
The problem has like fucking eight.
More than White Zombie.
Wait a minute. I bet the Rob Zombie to Danzig album ratio of good to bad might be in about the same ballpark.
No,
right?
No way. Danzig has way more albums.
Well, you said eight. I bet Zombies.
The first three Danzig albums are awesome.
If you count,
wrong.
Wait, what if you count?
Wrong.
White?
Two is shady at best.
Okay, I'll give you that.
One. One's the only good one.
One's good front to back.
Yeah.
Three has Dirty Black Summer on it.
See, I think we're underestimating.
I don't even know if I could make a full length out of songs that I like.
All right.
Every album.
Here's how we'll
after
do it then.
Two.
Here's how we'll break it down. I'll give you that White Zombie album.
This
good
is how
album.
We do it?
You give me that fucking album's a good album. And so they'll cancel each other out. And then you have, you know, Dirty Black Summer as the equalizer. So Danzig beats White Zombie.
But White Zombie has two awesome albums.
No, he doesn't.
Fine. Then you think of a. Let's see Danzig bring the Pitbulls out.
I don't know. So, like, how many? Let's see what albums Rob Zombie put out, because this is obviously the content.
I think it's only three.
Boy, I don't know. I feel like there's a couple of shitty 2000s ones.
I feel like
that
he has three full length albums. There's Hellbilly Deluxe. There's the one after Hellbilly Deluxe. Bad start.
Yeah, all right, Hellbilly Deluxe came out in 98. He did
He's a buster.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, he's done a bunch of albums, actually.
How many of them are remix albums, though?
See, that's the weird thing with Zombie. He always does these weird remix deals and kind of half new album. What's Mondo Sexhead? Educated Horses. Venomous Rat Regeneration. Hellbilly Deluxe 2. The Sinister Urge.
The Sinister Urge was the other one I was thinking of.
He's done about, I'd say, at least six albums, so he's close to that Danzig territory. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't too far off. Either way. 1995. Van Hagar put out Balance.
Oh, wow, yeah. How did I not list that album?
How dare you not? I can't stop loving you no matter what you say or do. Symphony X put out Damnation Game.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't list them.
Suffocation put out Pierce from Within.
Oh, Jesus. That's not even on mine.
95 was a really good year.
For some reason, I thought it came out in like 93.
Pierce from Within was 95. And maybe someone will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I got that as 95.
No, I mean, I'm sure you're right.
That was my list. I mean, 95 to me was surprising.
Pretty solid.
And it took me I didn't get to appreciate this list of albums in 95. I get to appreciate this list of albums in 2015, 2016.
So there's you know what I mean? There's a lot that
what
was
year
good.
Is
that,
it?
What is it?
There's a lot that I like that came out in 95. I'm just going to name stuff that either I think is worth talking about or that I liked.
Okay.
Yngwie Malmsteen put up Magnum Opus.
Oh, I did see that, and I don't think I ever listened to it.
I have never listened to it either. I was kind of hoping.
No, it's not even in my discography.
Gwar put out Ragnarok.
Gwar album. Yep.
Which is a good one. Bri, This Is More You. Faith No More put out King for a Day.
Fool for a Lifetime. Yeah. This was in the Faith No More is getting weirder and weirder territory, right?
I have no idea. You're talking to the wrong guy.
Oh, see, I like...
I want to know where that lands in the spectrum of Faith No More, sort of.
I like Real Thing by Faith No More, and that's about it, actually. I've seen them live, and I like a couple of tracks here and there, but they're up and down for me, long story short.
Okay.
But in my wheelhouse, I get that.
Melancholy. Melancholy in the Infinite Sadness came out in 95.
Smashing Pumpkins, right?
Yeah.
Topical. Double album. I saw a 22-minute interview with Billy Corgan on the Alex Jones show, and it was a fucking...
1995 or 2016?
It was 2016, but I mean, Jesus Christ. Billy Corgan believes that the federal government is a shadow government for the real government, which is a tech company.
Boy, that sounds...
Yeah. Yeah, and then he goes off for like 20 minutes and like tries to make fun of liberals while he's dressed up like the douchiest hipster in the world. It was terrible.
Corgan's still working for TNA, I think, right?
Yep.
I don't know what if he's still writing or whatever the fuck. I haven't heard from him in a long time.
He seems like a very creative guy when he was talking on Alex Jones, so if he's in TNA, then good on him.
What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis came out, boy. Which is a wonderful album. This judgment I can tell from the couch already.
No, I like that when it first
came out.
It's
pretty good still.
I would never listen to it now.
And Out Come the Wolves by Rancid came out in 95.
Oh, yeah.
They're still touring on that.
Yeah.
I do like that album.
E-1999 Eternal by Bone Thugs came out in 1995.
I wasn't a Bone Thugs guy.
Insomniac by Green Day, probably the best album they have.
Dookie was better.
Wait, Insomniac had Brain Stew?
Brain Stew, Jaded, Geek Stink Breath, Walking Contradiction. Oh, no, is that the next one?
No, nope. Sorry.
Yeah.
Walking Contradiction.
That was on Insomniac.
But it didn't have J.A.R. on it, and that was the best song that wasn't off that album.
The best album that I've named out of all of these, Sparkling Fade by Everclear.
Oh, you're an Everclear dude. Yeah.
I like that album.
If we're talking about douchebag albums, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
One Hot Minute. Yeah.
Ugh. That was the Dave Navarro album, too. Ugh. So it was the only album I could probably tolerate.
Oh, boy. One Hot Minute. What the hell was on that one?
Warped is all I remember.
Fuck, I can't remember.
The one single they had. Wasn't there like a... God damn it. Never mind.
Aeroplane.
That's the one. Oh.
1995 had a lot for punk and hardcore, I think, too. Cheshire Cat by Blink-182.
Wow. Yeah, 95.
Jesus Christ, Tragic Kingdom came out in 95.
Wow. Ugh.
Oh, God. Was that No Doubt? Put out their last album in 1995.
How's Marky?
He's fucking looking great. Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay. Did we talk about the text on the last episode?
I don't think so.
As we're watching NXT in Matt Jones' living room, me, Matt, Brando, yeah. And Matt's brother and Maggie are hanging out there, and I just hold my phone up like this as soon as Scott Hall, like, Chris Casares is gonna text me, talk about how good Scott Hall looks in 5, 4, 3,
buzz.
Before I was done with the 5 count, I got the text.
What the hell is the... Oh, yeah, we still have that long going bet, right?
Who's yeah, who's, no.
All right, so you... Okay, you're keeping an eye. All right.
No.
This is a callback to 2 episodes.
Me, if we have a fight and don't talk, what will bring us back together is one of them will die.
We're not going to have a fight and don't talk.
I know, but if we did, that would be what brought us back together. Right back. That would be the reunion episode. Civ put out Set Your Goals in 95.
Oh, Civ.
Which is, that's the singer from the Gorilla Biscuits who wanted to start a rock band, and it was just a hardcore band.
Their music video got airplay. And,
yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Had the guy from Sick of It All on it, too, so it had some New York shit.
And I've seen the video, so that means it got airplay.
And let me look up one more, because I think it came out in 95, but I don't want to be a dumb idiot.
Alanis Morissette?
No, that's not what I'm looking up, but yeah.
But that did come out in 95.
God damn it.
God damn that
stupid
album.
Bands with names.
I mean, you haven't even talked about all of the fucking, oh my God, Boys to Men.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll go on forever.
I was trying to stick
Coolio.
To the
ballpark that we were in.
To bands that play instruments, yeah. For the most part. I mean, I know that the, never mind. I take it back. 93. Damn.
Damn, damn.
That's all I got then.
95's all over the place. Jesus.
Yeah, some of the
The most popular albums were the shit ones, though, you know?
Yeah, for the most part.
I can't remember any big tours that happened in 95. Like, I'm sure all these bands are like, fuck it, we're doing our own deal. But I can't think of any tour packages from that year that were combined from any of these albums we've listed. Maybe not.
I don't remember any. I was 10.
No, of course. No, at that point, we weren't even thinking about it.
The Blue Album was 94. Yeah, I don't know.
That's fucking 1995. We knew this half of the show would be mostly positive because
there were a lot of
good albums.
Yeah, and we're fuddy-duddies, so we like older stuff more than stuff that came out recently.
This is 20 years ago.
Put in albums 2014, and let's talk shit about that.
Oh, boy. Stratovarius put out Fourth Dimension 2 this year.
I think there was a few good albums from 2014.
Probably didn't listen to any of them, so.
We'll talk about that in 2034.
All right.
For our 900th episode, whatever the hell that comes out to you. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a breather.
Would we be the longest running episodic podcast in history? Could we just start saying that on every episode?
Maggle.
The longest running episode of history, Maggle.
Maggle.
Shut up, Byron.
We're going to take a breather. Coming up, though, tons of 1995 pro wrestling to talk about, the highs and the many lows, WWF, WCW, ECW, and the infinity and beyond. Stay tuned.
Don't go chasing waterfalls and do something productive with your life by listening to audiobooks with Audible.
Audible has over 150,000 audiobooks, and they're all compatible with Real Audio Player and your RCA Boombox. Now you can listen to books on your Gateway computer or on your Schwinn BMX.
So if you decide not to drive your car drunk into a tree, for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial, log into AOL, enter audibletrial.com/netbreaker into the AOL keywords dialog box. That's audibletrial.com/netbreaker if you didn't crash your car into a tree.
Welcome back to Neckbreaker. The year is still 1995, and pro wrestling is at one of its lowest points, I think, in, boy, a long time. Probably for attendance, for interest, for how shows are down. I think Brett was on top, and houses were drawing like 3,000 to 4,000.
Diesel was
cheap. Brett started.
And then Brett lost it at the Survivor Series in 94.
Yes.
So at the end,
held it from that point.
At the end of 95, so coming into 95, so Brett was on top at 94, and the houses were doing about 5,000, 6,000 people.
Yeah.
And then Diesel took over, and houses were doing about 3. That's what I meant to say. Let's break it down. So I gathered a list of kind of some top events, some feuds, and bullshit that's happened in American wrestling. I can't speak to Japanese wrestling during this time, besides.
I can't speak for Japanese wrestling and now.
Yeah.
I can. I have New Japan World.
Yeah. You do.
Naito is the new champion, and Sonata came to New Japan and helped him win.
Sonata's not a power wrestler anymore.
Sonata was in TNA as the great Sonata, who was a ripoff.
I'm trying to make a Sonata Arctica joke here, but you just stomped all over.
Boy,
you just garb and stomped all over my joke.
What's
and walk to try.
Wee wee, mon ami.
Why don't we we'll do a good, a bad, good, bad sandwich. We'll start off
bad, good, bad sandwich.
Let's start off with WCW. All right, okay. 1995. I gathered a couple of pay-per-views, a couple of events. The uncensored pay-per-view happened in 1995. This one including a match with Blacktop Bully and Dustin Rhodes and a King of the Road match where they were in this big 18-wheeler, right? With all the hay and all that bullshit. And they're doing laps around Atlanta, Georgia, I think. Even though the pay-per-view was like in Vegas or something like that. Both Blacktop Bully and Dustin Rhodes bladed. And both of them were fired for blading.
It was the best thing that could have happened to Dustin.
Yes, because at that point, this was 95, so it did not take long for him to go from that to Goldust. That's one of the points I have for WWF as well, but that's WCW 95 for you. You're on an uncensored pay-per-view. You get a little color and hit the road. Jesus.
Well, one of them was the King of the Road, so good for them.
It was on point.
They're back. They ran.
Sabu and Mr. JL had a decent feud. Kind of a little back and forth, a few matches. That's kind of... I mean, seeing Sabu in WCW 95 blew my mind.
That was the first time I think I ever saw Sabu was that Alex Wright match. Because he was like... The Sabu-Alex Wright match was on the first Nitro, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was one
first
of the...
Nitro in the mall.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys know more than me about fucking the first Nitro. That's for sure.
Sabu.
Oh, I definitely watched the first Nitro.
I know like the first. Twice. I know the first and last matches because that's all I could ever sit through in that show.
What was the first match?
First match was Pillman and Liger.
Right? Yeah.
Pillman and Liger is the first, but I think maybe two or three later was Wright and Sabu, and Sabu put Wright through, or he tried to put Wright through a table.
Yeah.
No, at that point, I think I've seen ECW on a couple of one-off Univision type of views, but. Sabu and just seeing Sabu in, I didn't know who the fuck JL was, but they worked a bunch of matches. They were really good. Just seeing Sabu, I guess, in WCW was fucking weird. Slamboree came around. The note that I took, and I watched this match earlier just because I had to see it, was they did a Legends match at the pay-per-view. They made it in black and white.
And ooh, it was, I don't remember this.
And it was Dick Murdoch versus Wahoo McDaniel on a WCW 1995 pay-per-view.
I gotta go watch this immediately.
Boy, dark. I mean, they brought Gordon Solie in to do commentary with Bobby Heenan, too. It was like, where the fuck did this come from? So weird. Check out it on the network.
How many times did he say supply?
God, it might have slipped in a couple of times. I mean,
you gotta get his shit in.
Yeah, gotta get your shit in.
Oh, super.
Like Shivani when he would take a dump.
Stampede.
WCW used to do that kind of stuff. They'd have like a Legends. I think that's part of the Slamboree tradition. I think they'd have a Legends match.
They'd also do fucking RoboCop in a steel cage.
Well, that's the Legends match of that year, of course. John, you had asked me to write down Renegade. We watched Renegade dominate the Bash of the Beach pay-per-view in 95 here.
You got Roman Reigns style booed.
Boy.
Paul Orndorff was very over that
Orndorff
day.
Orndorff was over.
Yeah, when Orndorff's getting the pop, second match in, that's a sign for Renegade. We need to talk about Renegade. What are they doing? What's going on?
This is China.
You know, this guy killed himself.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to dump on his gimmick. What are they doing? Like, are they trying to make fun of WWF?
They were totally trying to create a new Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
And it was definitely a very harebrained attempt.
Like, dump some
paint
on
remember,
it.
Do you remember how Renegade debuted?
Boy, no.
Helping Hogan.
He debuted against Arn Anderson for the television title. I don't even know if he was announced as the guy. I don't remember if he was like a mystery opponent or not.
Oh boy, this is shady booking.
He came out, Arn Anderson put him over, he won the TV title.
Okay.
This sounds like shady booking. This sounds like they didn't announce him. Kind of just ran out like Warrior. People letting the kids think it was Warrior.
I think they tried to trick kids into thinking it was the Ultimate Warrior.
That's so WCW. That's so wrestling.
And then
promoter.
Like everyone's mom that watched wrestling with them when they were younger, like, oh, no, that's the second Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
The real there one, was two of them.
The first one died, right?
Yeah.
The first one killed himself or
something. My mom's still convinced there was two Ultimate Warriors.
He he didn't just drop a bunch of weight and get a haircut. No. That couldn't have happened.
I think that was because Kerry Von Erich died, and that's how that started. People confused Texas Tornado with the Warrior.
Oh, and they maybe confused the stories?
Yeah.
Fucking moms.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
1995. Oh, boy, I know I'm jumping around kind of months, but Halloween Havoc 1995 had
it. Was that the one where the Nasty Boys gave the pile driver on the Humpkin?
Boy, it's got to be in that ballpark, like a 93, 94, 90. It's close. I didn't write that down, but if you want to look that up, but
yeah,
Halloween Havoc 95 was the monster truck match between
Jesus,
between the Giant and Hogan.
Oh boy, I forgot about that.
Where
worst? That's the worst gimmick match of all time.
So Hogan won the monster truck match.
Throws the Giant off the top of the building. I'll never forget watching that, just being like, what the fuck? I'm looking at an 11-year-old kid just being like, this is fucking horseshit right here.
That's a terrible sign if you're 11. And usually 11, you're like, whatever, it's wrestling.
You're pretty naive. But I mean, I knew it was fake and stuff. I still liked it anyway. I don't give a shit.
But just you're like, oh, you're cringe. If you're cringing at 11, you're definitely cringing now. So Giant falls off the building, comes back at the end of the pay-per-view because they advertise first they get in the monster trucks and then they get in the squared circle.
Ugh.
And Hogan think he killed Andre's kid.
Oh yeah, he thought, yeah, of course, it was Andre's kid, right? Giant comes back and no cell is falling off a goddamn building because he's a giant.
No, he's a Superman. He's a superhero.
Tons of hoopla. All the Dungeon of Doom interferes in the match. The goddamn Yeti comes out.
The Yeti
comes
down. And
then
they fucking sandwich Hogan like the fucking Hathaway guys from SNL.
Oh. you meet me.
Dude, that's totally
94 is the 94 is the pile driver on the Pumpkin, unfortunately.
Oh, that sounds so unfortunate.
Well, it already happened, so we've seen it. It's a shame they didn't do it again.
So the Yeti dry humps Hogan with the Giant. They double hug. Hogan drops the belt
to the Giant, yeah.
Of course, Hogan needed a ton of interference and a ton of hoopla. Then I think the Giant had to forfeit the belt because, I don't know, interference.
Hogan never gave up or some garbage like that. So that was building towards World War III.
World War III, and then the champion came out as Savage or Flair, I think.
No, it was Randy, yeah.
Savage, because Savage dumped Hogan. Yeah, okay.
No, Hogan eliminated himself, yeah.
You don't say, Randy. Why would you do such a thing? That's so unlike you. Halloween Havoc, I know it's October, but before that was the debut of Nitro. September 1995 with Luger appearance. Whether you like Luger or not, there's no way none of us at least didn't smirk or mark it a little bit like,
okay,
right, that dude was definitely just on Raw.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Wasn't SummerSlam like the night before?
There was something. I think he worked a house show or some bullshit.
I thought he was on the pay-per-view the night before.
It was in September, so it couldn't have been SummerSlam, but He definitely worked WWF the night before, whether it was a house show or a taping.
When did, okay.
No, it was Sunday. It would have been a Sunday, so it would have been a pay-per-view.
What would, when did Diesel beat Mabel for the world title?
We're going to get there.
That was SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That was SummerSlam?
That was in August, though.
Yeah.
So, the first night was in September, I think September.
For some reason, I remember Luger being a,
we'll figure that out. Luger definitely worked the night before. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went immediately over to Nitro wearing the most gorgeous blouse.
Oh, yeah.
In the history of blouse. In the mall with Hogan's Pasta Mania running wild.
Yep.
Also in 95, I mean, I'm picking a lot of bad stuff from WCW, but boy, it was hard to...
Well, they had the Arn Anderson, Ric Flair match at Fall Brawl 95.
That was really
where
good.
Anderson won.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. That was a good old fashioned wrestling story.
Real good.
And then they immediately reformed the Four Horsemen after that.
Sorry about that. Just forget about that part.
With Pillman doing the Booker Man angle happened in 95, right?
Yes, that was a huge part of. 90-
Get your fucking hands off me, Bobby Eaton.
Was that late 95? I think it trickled into 96.
Yeah.
95, 96 for the whole Pillman maniac angle where he was all over the place.
He was in all three companies, I think, in 96.
Pillman should be, but at that point, 96, he worked all three at some point. Dungeon of Doom got a shitload of focus. They brought in Loch Ness for a little bit.
Yeah, that was the major heel faction that Hogan was going against.
Yeah. Brutai was the...
Brother Brutai.
Yeah, the Zodiac.
Zodiac.
The guy who attacked Hogan.
The Shark.
They had Kamala.
Kamala, yes.
Kamala worked in the Dungeon of Doom. Anybody who looked weird, they're like...
Wasn't like...
Megan Barbarian were there,
like,
too, I think.
Fucking Haystacks 2 or some shit?
Yeah, Loch Ness.
That was Loch Ness? Okay. Mm-hmm.
But Loch Ness was Haystacks 1, I think. I could be wrong. Steve Austin got fired in 95.
Yep.
Received a goddamn FedEx. See you later. Hit the road, Jack.
Paul Heyman calls me up. He says, let's come up here and cut a promo. I said, my damn arm's screwed up.
Damn, Steve. Hogan also teased turning heel in 95. He went all black.
Yeah, that was this? The Beyond Hulkamania.
You remember the segment with him and Sting and Savage where he was talking shit about the wrestling dirt sheets? Do you remember this?
I don't remember this at all.
It was on Nitro or some taping, some pay-per-view, and he had a big bucket with a big fire pit going, and this is when he stopped being heel. He ripped off his black and all that, but Savage, I guess, I read this, Savage had a legit shoulder injury. Then the dirt sheets reported it, Wrestling Observer reported it, and they put it in the dirt sheets, and then Hogan went out on pay-per-view and had the big bucket, and he was burning his black because he's turning babyface again. And then he says, you know something, brother, these wrestling sheets out there say Macho Man's hurt and all that. Well, Macho Man's just fine because he's right here. And, you know, he ripped the dirt sheet and he threw it in the fire. Savage was actually hurt. But and they made Savage work the pay-per-view that night. And he hurt his shoulder even more. All because they wanted to, like, spin the whole dirt sheet thing and make it seem like the dirt sheets were wrong. So Savage got... even
so,
more hard.
So here's how you do that, WCW. Let me explain how it works.
Do tell.
You plant a fake story. You don't take a real story and then say, oh no, the dirt sheets are wrong. Morons!
So you make Savage work
amateur hard. Hour down there.
Oh my god.
You feel like Savage might have had something to do with that, though?
Uh-huh, yeah. Sarasota's very, very like, nice in September.
I mean, that was Bischoff time. Do you think Bischoff gave a fuck about the dirt sheets?
Yes. I believe he did. I'm sure he was a mark. I'm sure he wanted to get in the dirt sheets and control them in some way or form.
I feel like that was more of a Savage thing.
I don't think either company really gave a shit. I think ECW was more involved with the dirt sheets than anyone else.
Well, either way, they mentioned it, and Savage got hurt even more because I'm sure. I mean, who was producing? Who was writing? It was either Sullivan or Bischoff. One of the two probably had to have some say. Maybe even Hogan. I don't know. 95. Anything else for WCW? I mean, that's kind of 95 for WCW. I'm
trying to think now because small bits of reminding. Were the American Males a thing yet?
Yes.
No.
Definitely.
They
or
were
still Stars and Stripes.
Stars and Stripes.
Oh, okay.
At the beginning of the year, but maybe they turned to American Males at some point. I could be wrong with that.
It's a real fucking Smoky Mountain gimmick they had going on there.
Yeah, they went from
Thrill Seekers.
Gold to...
You know what? Interesting story.
Gold.
Gato, who books New Japan, loves Memphis wrestling.
Really?
All about it, huh?
Well...
all about it.
To a degree, that makes sense.
Yeah.
She probably doesn't really 100% care for the fucking Memphis two-step shit, but...
No, he loves it. He thinks that's what's like wrestling is. He's a huge fan of it.
All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, New Japan's awesome. So,
anything else? WCW, Bash at the Beach. So, did Hogan do the big cage match with Dungeon of Doom? Was that 95? You think?
Oh god!
Do you remember the three levels?
Yeah,
three levels with Hogan's Hulkamaniacs, or is that no? That was Fall Brawl.
There was
a cage match at some
there
point.
There was another Hogan versus the World thing where
it was Hogan and Macho Man versus
Hogan
the
and Macho
entire
Man
Dungeon
versus the entire
Doom.
Dungeon of Doom.
That's what it was.
I don't remember. Was that
uncensored?
Something
of terror, of horror, of
oh boy,
Doom or
Hogan worked Vader like three times, like January, February, March, worked Vader a bunch, and then that stopped. And then Flair got the title by the end, I think, of the year. Something like that. I could be wrong. That's all I got for WCW. That's 95 for WCW. Let's switch gears.
95 was pretty much Hogan ball washing and a bunch of really bad shit.
Hogan, we got Hogan. He's got creative control. Let's make this work. Pretty much.
Hey, he's selling pay-per-views, so.
Yes. Not drawing houses, but selling some sort of.
Sometimes the quality can lapse if the fucking end result is they're making a buck.
ECW. This was a really good year for ECW. Well, ups and downs, I suppose. I wrote a couple of moments. Paul Heyman publicly fired Sabu because he took a Japan booking over an ECW event, causing the whole crowd to chant "fuck Sabu" for about 2 minutes.
Which is
very Paul Heyman-like.
Fucking drinking the Kool-Aid, guys.
Getting fired from ECW. Yeah, that must have been a terrible couple of days for him.
He came back that same year. Right. So, he probably missed a few months.
Yeah, he was...
Went to WCW for
He was bit. Their Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
Total. Yeah.
Terry Funk came into the company. I don't know if he returned, or I think it was a return, more or less. Return of the Funker.
He was too old to wrestle then, right?
No, way too old. Yeah, he was about to retire at that point, I'm sure.
What do you go, another 6 years after that?
Six. Yeah, probably about six. 95, 2001.
He definitely wrestled in 2006.
Yeah, he worked. Yeah, wasn't he on ECW One Night Stand?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. You're right. Holy shit.
And I'm sure he did a few more after that.
Yeah, there's him.
He worked with Dory Funk in Japan like 2 years ago.
He was on the other, the non-WWE ECW revival thing.
Yes.
Because he took less money to do it, and then he cried on the unauthorized documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because he took less money?
I have that on DVD. Oh. It's actually pretty fun to watch. It's kind of sad in a way, but like it's
still fucking Sinister Menace, like, yeah, I mean, the Sandman, I think we'd just be in the back doing coke and fucking the rats, but we'd be talking about, like, Van Gogh or some shit. Like, sure you were.
That's a pretty good Sinister.
Is it? Well, I don't know.
You were in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
You good?
It wasn't sinister enough.
Well, that was a really good Sinister, I mean.
First attempt ever at that.
And not the last.
Probably
not. Rest in peace, Balls Mahoney, of course. Fuck, was he 44? Yep. Passed away, something like that? Jesus Christ.
Heaven got a little bit smellier.
That KFAB News article was so good. Saying that they're looking for Public Enemy right now up there.
Oh, yeah.
Something like
Are
that.
Are both Public Enemies dead?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
ECW's bad for your health.
No. Yeah, it goes back to Sinister's line of... Well, doing lines. Cactus Jack had a key promo year. All 95, he had the I'm Hardcore promo. That was his year of the stick, if you will.
Well, that's when he went to ECW 2 and cut all the pro WCW promos.
Yeah, that's when he stopped being...
I think that's my favorite Mick Foley.
That's when he stopped hardcore wrestling, right?
Yeah, and he would just grab a hold.
I'm Hardcore. I'm Hardcore, yes.
Uncle Eric...
Yeah. Uncle Eric, and he had a big Eric the Brush t-shirt.
Oh, didn't he spin on the tag belt?
He did.
Okay.
Spin the WCW tag belt. This was a really good year for Cactus. Completely different than what he was doing before. And same thing, Steve Austin, same year. Austin came in for a few months.
Cut the greatest wrestling promo of all time.
Didn't take long.
Paul Heyman's parents' basement.
Well, the mom's making meatball subs and doing laundry. I mean, you had Austin's run, you had Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko feuding all over the place. They probably did a huge series of matches.
Yeah.
So good. They worked in a baseball field, I think, at some one of
the
events.
And it was raining.
Yeah, it was raining.
That match was great.
So good. Shane Douglas left ECW in 1995.
Yep.
What are you going to go teach school?
Yeah.
He got his education certificate.
He benefit from a... oh, no, that wasn't the smile. That was when he got jumped.
Oh,
and he wore that Pele jacket. I'm talking Shawn Michaels shit right now.
Oh, yeah. Boy, we're going to get there. We're definitely going to get there.
You're right.
What else? What other memories are coming up? ECW 95 from that ballpark.
This is after Mike Awesome damn near killed JT Smith, right?
That sounds 94, but that could be 95. What the hell? Drop it anyway. When
or
he when
Smith
back.
Or Snow or I don't know, it was the black Italian guy.
I think JT. I swear they aired the commercial like 20 times.
Yeah, but it's been so long because I always got distracted by stupid Kimono Walalea.
Stupid.
The night the line was crossed.
Something about ECW. Somebody's back gets completely wrecked on a guardrail. And they'll throw it on a video, a VHS release and have a commercial play every week for 4 months.
Yeah.
Make a dime off it. I wonder if they gave them some money for that.
What if they got...
Not Paul Heyman. No way.
They couldn't pay the people that were working for him.
Yeah, or they barely could afford the editing for the VHS commercial. What else? Gangsters were probably killing it with Public Enemy, is my guess.
Was Taz yet?
Is he the Tasmaniac?
I think he was... Yeah, he was the Tasmaniac.
Still?
95.
Oh, Sabu or Chris Benoit broke Sabu's neck, right?
Was
that 96?
Well, 90.
Sabu was WCW in 95.
Yeah, so was Benoit. Benoit came in right around the same time.
Yeah, Benoit was in about 95. I want to say late 94, but maybe it was early 95. That could be. It was right around that area.
That's where he got the nickname.
Sabu
the
was working in WCW in 95, though.
Yes.
That's the thing. So Sabu worked ECW early, then WCW, kind of Japan, then went back to ECW. So it could have been late 95 or... You're right, ballpark. Who else is working on top? You got Dudley's probably were still infancy.
Yeah, I don't even know if...
Dances with Dudley and all that.
I don't know if Bubba Ray and Devon were in it yet.
No, you still had Dances with Dudley, all that bullshit.
94 November.
Was when he broke his neck? Yeah. Late in 94.
I was close.
Oh, you know what happened in 95 was Terry Funk and Cactus Jack worked a match, and Funk had a fiery steel chair wrapped in a towel or cloth.
Oh, that was the...
He hit Cactus, I think, with a chair, or Cactus hit him, and the cloth went in the crowd. And of course, landed on a fan. Why wouldn't it? And why wouldn't the fan sue ECW? And why... I don't know if the fan won. Well, he should have won a settlement of some sort. Hey, you know, for all we know, there could have been one sign at the front door that said, enter at your own risk, and it's like a lawsuit. Like, oh, nope, you're good to go. No lawsuits here.
That's some regulation.
Yeah. And see the little tiny sign right there up front? No, I'm sure he sued, and I'm sure that fan made a little money.
Pennies. I bet Heyman didn't even pay up.
I would have been marking out. I mean, Steven, if I was on fire. Oh, I wonder if I'm going to make the VHS commercial. They'll probably, right. Probably advertise it. Anything else for ECW? 95 here?
Marty Jannetty pinned Jim Neidhart on April 28th.
That's such an ECW match in 95. Jannetty worked there for a little bit. Before the jumping back for the New Rockers, I think. That was 96.
Marty Jannetty defeated Shane Douglas.
Wow.
In 95.
That Shane had to have been on his way out. You got to put over this
Chris
new
Benoit
young...
Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko defeated Norman Smiley and Mikey Whipwreck.
That's actually Norman Smiley.
Smiley.
Huh? I don't get it.
That was
it's only
gimmick.
1995. I don't think that happened yet.
Oh, fuck off.
He got you there. It is 1995 right now.
You kayfabe dick.
Marty Jannetty pinned a lot of people. Marty Jannetty pinned Raven.
The young rookie.
Jesus Christ.
Marty Jannetty fought Too Cold Scorpio to a no contest.
What?
I'm very interested in Marty Jannetty's ECW run right now.
I mean, did he come out to Rockers music? I don't know. He probably came out to AC/DC like everybody else in 95. boy. That's what I got for ECW. I know there's more, but those were some of the key storylines, key initiatives going on.
If we left anything out, feel free to message us. Let us know.
On AOL, of course.
Marty Jannetty pinned Bull Payne.
You can add John on Instant Messenger at NBA Podcast.
Marty
Jannetty
defeated
message.
The terrorist. Who the fuck was the terrorist?
Dude, Marty Jannetty put nobody over in 95, did he?
He put the Sandman over. He was the champion.
Wait, Sandman was champ?
Yeah.
Okay, no, I thought you were saying Jannetty was champ. And
Marty
Jannetty
fought Jim Neidhart to a double disqualification. I'll give you the Marty Jannetty updates. We're in August right now.
John, you should do a shoot DVD commentary where you just talk about Jannetty's career in ECW.
The best part about following Marty Jannetty on Facebook is that he changed his name to Frederick Jannetty, not realizing that he wouldn't be able to change it back for 60 days. And he's stuck with Frederick Jannetty. It's great. He's so whacked out.
Why Frederick? Is it a real name?
I have no idea. But I just
call that him, I can look up.
I call him Freddie Jannetty at this point.
Okay, Google, what is Marty Jannetty's real name?
Lex Luger. Yeah, I think
Lawrence Poffel.
Birth name, Frederick Marty Jannetty. That is his real name.
Freddie Jannetty.
Freddie Jannetty. Yeah, I think Freddie Jannetty was out by about September of 95.
Getting him ready for his new Rockers run, right?
God, was Queef that 95?
Cassidy. Yeah.
95, 96. That's got to be right around then.
Oh, boy.
You know Marty was getting hyped. Like, I'm going to get my new Rockers run. Build it to Mania, do a tag with Working on Top. No, that didn't happen.
Oh, no. It's 96. That doesn't qualify.
That's Jannetty's 1995 ECW career. Let's, we got one more segment here, then we'll do some plugs and wrap things up for our 95 episode. We like the nostalgia episodes. We don't have guests. It's kind of, switches things up a little. WWF, 1995.
World Wildlife Fund.
Terrible. Terrible year for this company. 94 wasn't the worst year. No, 94 had good feuds. He had brought no one going for a while there. But 95, this was bad. Royal Rumble, Chris. You're the expert of the Royal Rumble HBK, I believe.
Yep. 1 foot, 1 foot, 1 foot. Yeah. the greatest call in Vince's history.
Is this arguably the worst Rumble?
It's the shortest by far.
40 minutes.
The first one might be short too. I've never watched that one either, but 95 isn't too bad. Owen's in for like a split second, and that kind of sucks because he was the only other person that was worth a damn in that Rumble.
Weak roster.
Very weak.
Brutal roster.
Very weak. And basically the way they set it up too, like the Blue Brothers, who are the Harris, Ron and Don Harris.
The new owners of TNA.
with long curly hair. They sort of like are the markers of the whole match. Like the first one comes out at number 3, and then once the other one comes out at number like 15 or 16, it's like the second wave of the Rumble. And all these, like you could tell the only person that mattered was Michaels and Bulldog.
You mentioned the Harris brothers. You read about that this week with TNA, John? Yeah. You read about that?
Yeah. And here's a picture of Don Harris wearing an SS shirt.
Yes. And then I don't know if they're going to end up owning.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Of course. It doesn't surprise me. On a TNA show at that. So they got tattoos as well. So it's like, okay. All right. That's cool. 95, you had HBK winning the Rumble, which, I mean, who else could they have gone with? Owen? Owen would have been something different, but they wouldn't have gone with him.
They threw him out real quick, yeah.
Real quick.
They had already done that in 94, though. Bret and Owen was 94.
Yeah.
Yep, Bret and Owen feud was. But yeah, going into Mania, yeah, you couldn't have done that. Going into WrestleMania 11, LT and Bam Bam Bigelow.
That, we could say the whole card. I have the whole card pulled up.
Worst WrestleMania.
Did you read the Russell crap on that WrestleMania? The entire pay-per-view made it into Russell crap's hall of crap, I guess, whatever it is. The entire pay-per-view.
It's terrible.
Is in there. They opened it up saying that the pay-per-view was held at a strip mall, pretty much, because the Civic Center is like attached to a goddamn mall, more or less. So, a million celebrity fill-ins.
Oh, yeah. Those Pamela Anderson and
Jenny McCarthy. You had Tutoro, what's his name? You had Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Was that the one with the fake Bill Clinton?
No, it was
SummerSlam.
Yeah. Okay. But pretty much the same year. You had... Oh, shit. There were a couple other celebrities, like B or C listers that were... Kept plopping them in there just to fill the card.
Burt Reynolds. Oh, no, that was WrestleMania 10.
No, and Burt's. I mean, he did exactly what you needed him to do.
15,000 was the attendance.
Yep, Hartford Civic Center. Brutal card you had. LT Bam Bam over Diesel and Sean, I think. Yep.
And then you had Brett and...
Salt and Pepper was there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You had Brett working with
Backlund
in the I Quit match.
If we're going to take one thing that was good from 1995.
Bob Backlund.
Heel Backlund had its moments, I think.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Bob, I like Bob Backlund in that role. Somehow he filled a hole, I guess. I don't know. There was something there with it. Yeah. I was marking out. Of course, I was giving people chicken wings in high school or elementary school, I should say.
Chicken wing was a very easy thing to give your friends.
Very, very easy. You can sneak that in on somebody real quick. It was the stunner of 1995. You had LT Bam Bam. You had Allied Powers. I think
against
you had
the Blue Brothers.
Oh my God, brutal.
God.
Jarrett with the roadie probably going against somebody.
Razor
Ramon.
You
look at the card now?
Yeah. Razor Ramon with the 1-2-3 kid defeated Jeff Jarrett for the Intercontinental Championship. Poor Taker.
Oh, Bundy.
Bundy. And he was feuding with the Million Dollar Corporation that year, too.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Taker.
Which was, if that's the best heel faction you can put, Nikolai Volkoff and King Kong Bundy and Kamu Mustafa.
That's what you gathered up for your talent?
Yeah.
In 95.
And Tatanka.
Tatanka was like the crown jewel.
Yeah.
Owen Hart and Yokozuna defeated the Smoking Guns for the Tag Team Championship.
Oh, see, Yoko was out on sabbatical. Not sabbatical. They told him to lose weight, pretty much.
He came back heavier.
He was gone for like 4 or 5 months. He came back heavier.
And then Owen Hart did all the work. And then
Owen Hart, yeah, pretty much. And they gave him the straps.
That was Owen Hart being real good then, too.
Taking one for the team?
No, he was awesome.
Oh, I thought you meant like him taking that spot on the card versus... He could have been working higher, I think.
He should have been.
Yes, he should have
won the title in 94.
Should have.
Should have been Owen Brett 3 at this point, but no, he's not a big man.
Nope, not a big man. Actually, I think Vince called him ugly. He just didn't like the
he
way he looked.
He is ugly.
He's I'm not one to speak, but it's Owen Hart.
He was ugly, but he's real ugly now. Eat something, your skin and bones. Mostly bones.
Jesus oh, yeah, he's Christ. Just a skeleton at this point.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
Did we get as morbid as we possibly could with this? He's dead.
He is dead. He's been dead for...
Got it.
Minus 4 years.
Oh, buddy.
Did some math there, huh? Anything else in WrestleMania? What else was brutal on that card? Anything else?
Steve McMichael made his professional wrestling debut.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he came out with LT and the whole crew there.
The wrestling bug bit him. And then he went to WCW and became a commentator.
And then he got lost at a strip club and he hasn't been seen since.
No, he was a referee in TNA at one point. It was pretty terrible.
And he ran for mayor, I think. Something like that. Wasn't he politics? He was in politics, or he tried to be in politics.
Of course he
was.
Yeah.
That's 11, huh?
Diesel versus Shawn Michaels, which I don't even remember.
That was Diesel giving Michaels the worst power bomb ever.
Butt bomb.
Butt bomb?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was probably... I feel like he was like trying to save... Take it easy on my brother, you know. Drop me on my ass. He overextended the powerbomb, but
no, it's definitely Michaels fucking it up.
What do you think, Michaels over? Well, Diesel was holding the powerbomb. Shouldn't he have had control of the bomb?
I think Michaels kind of squirmed his way to screw it up for him.
He didn't want
to
take the flat back bump.
Yeah,
nice flat back bump.
Yeah,
because it's Michaels. If he wanted to make it look good, he'd make it look good.
He would.
Nash has even said that. He's like, yeah, Michaels like sabotaged that match.
He wanted to stay on top. Because Diesel won, right? Diesel went over.
Diesel
kept
won,
the belt.
But who main evented WrestleMania the next year?
Michaels.
Yeah.
So that brought us to In Your House 1. They started doing In Your House pay-per-views. 2-hour, $20 deals. Bret Hart.
Really the worst fucking thing they could have ever done, because now they have. Now they're trying to get squeeze 15 or 16 out a year now.
With the network specials and everything? Yeah. This was the president. Well, who set this president? Them or WCW? I think WCW did. I think WCW
It was sort of like an arms race at this point.
Because WCW was definitely doing more than four. They were doing Slamboree, American Bash,
they did
Brawl.
Four, but they did a lot of Clash of the Champions, and then I think WCW did six, and then WWF did nine, and then
WWF
they did 12.
Was doing King of the Ring at this point, too. Yeah. There's one boy. More, wasn't there?
Yep.
They always had a random one thrown in there.
You had so Bret Nakushi was at in Euros 1, which is a really good match.
Yes. That
outstanding match. That's one of the highlights of the year, I thought.
Bret wrestled Jerry Lawler at the end of the card too.
Bret Hart worked Lawler. The whole Bret Hart, Isaac Yankum, Jerry Lawler feud that went on for a couple of months.
Yep.
The Kiss My Foot match.
Terrible.
Boy. King of the Ring.
Mabel.
The crowning of King Mabel, who he hurt half the roster this year, I think. Why Mabel?
Like, he's big.
Big
he's
man. The
biggest, big.
Biggest guy to go against
Yoko too.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's like Yoko, except he can't work.
So they give him the King of the Ring. He plows through Savio Vega or whoever the hell. So he went
it was
over.
Savio Vega.
Savio Vega had a good night, I think. Mabel got like a bye or some bullshit, of course. Good heel tactic, but that led to Diesel and King Mabel headlining SummerSlam. So when people bitch about some cards here and there in 2016, 2015, it's not Diesel Mabel.
Do you want the SummerSlam card?
Bring it to me. Because
there's a few interesting things that happened.
Feed it to me.
Ladder match for the IC title.
The second one, correct.
Yep.
Kushi and 1-2-3 Kid as the opening match.
Was really good.
I don't remember it, but I mean, on paper, that's how you open a match, open a pay-per-view. Then here we go. Here we go.
Feed it.
Helmsley versus Bob Holly. Sparky Plug. Singles match.
Okay. That makes sense. That sounds like a Superstars taping, but yeah. All right.
Smoking Guns versus the Blue Brothers.
Ooh, man.
Again.
One third. This was balls deep in the Barry Horowitz and Skip feud.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Horowitz was over.
He was
over.
But then we're not giving Skip, we're not giving Candido any credit for this shit.
Oh, Candido worked him like a mother.
I mean, they didn't do dog shit with Candido after this, after he pretty much made Horowitz look like fucking Hogan.
Well, Candido was...
Hoganowitz.
Well, Candido was busy putting Horowitz over. They were running a train on Sonny in the back, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
So they got what they wanted out of Candido. I know Sonny was in ringside, but still. They probably ran a train on a rafter. And you know it's true. I mean, yeah. Sean, everyone went through it.
Yeah.
So, like, Skip.
Sunny days.
Yeah, sunny days were ahead. You had... All right, so what else was on the card? You had Skip and Horowitz.
Bertha Faye defeated Alundra Blaze for the Women's Championship.
Bertha Faye. That sounds like a good band name.
Kind of, yeah.
I think it would be a good one.
Rhonda Sing's a better band name.
That's pretty good, too. That's pretty good.
Rhonda Sing's would be what her album would be called.
Alundra Blaze would also be a good band name.
Yes.
Especially today on 420.
Oh, blaze it, faggot.
The Undertaker defeated Kama in a casket match.
Oh, boy. He had to wear Kama, too? So he wore Bundy at
in
Mania?
In a gimmick match, no less.
Well, that might have actually
BSK
helped him.
BSK, running wild.
That's a good point. Helping his brother out.
Bret Hart defeated Isaac Yankum by disqualification. We're nearing the end of the card now, by the way.
That's your co-main. Probably, right?
No.
Oh, ladder match.
Michaels and Ramon and Razor Ramon.
Good. Not ladder as good match. As the first.
Not as good as the first one, but definitely good.
How do you top it?
Exactly. And then for 9 minutes and 14 seconds, Diesel wrestled King Mabel.
Oh, my God.
I believe with a schoolboy.
Diesel hurt his back in this match. Mabel dropped the... I guess Diesel had a hurt back going in, and all he told Mabel was, don't touch the back. So what did Mabel do? Mabel laid Diesel on his belly on the ground and then did one of those fucking Yokozuna splashes on his lower back. Of course, he fucking hurt his back even more, so Diesel was pissed, and that stopped Mabel's run. Because after SummerSlam,
was it?
That was it for Mabel. That was Click Power taking over there. Well, don't hurt Diesel. Don't hurt the champ either.
Yeah, protect your champ.
Yeah, that's what that pay-per-view was.
Boy. 95 had the debut of Goldust.
Okay.
So he went from Dustin Reynolds doing blade jobs in a truck in the middle of a field in Atlanta.
To pretty much changing wrestling.
Completely offending the world. Having an awesome gimmick. Yeah, I haven't seen a gimmick like that. I'm sure Gorgeous George was kind of doing a dated earlier version of that, but no, it was awesome. It was really good gimmick. He got that shit over.
It was where wrestling had to go to become interesting again.
Like, how did they... I would love to hear the development of that gimmick.
Hey, we want to get a bunch of good guys to play Smear the Queer.
That's...
I got an idea.
Well, who's available? Who just got fired?
It was supposed to be...
Dusty's kid's available.
It was supposed to be a play on, like, the Academy Awards, where it was like an Oscar statue, and he was supposed to be all gold.
Oh, that adds up now.
Movies and like Hollywood and stuff.
It was all Hollywood based because Marlena had the director's chair and everything.
Wait, and he kept quoting like movies from the 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, that
exactly.
Completely forgot about that. You're right.
That's how it started.
But the promos were super creepy.
Yeah, and it sounded very good.
And then in the Razor feud, he started getting real, real like
Razor wasn't a fan of that.
No, he didn't. He didn't get it at the time. He said he wishes he could go back and do
make,
it.
Make some money off it, of course.
But
so Goldust just absolutely dominated that year. IC champ real quick, and then
Gold Strap too.
No, I'm sorry. Maybe he got it the year after. Was that 96?
I think he got it in 96.
The Ramon and the Rumble. I think.
Isn't it because the 1-2-3 kid kicked Razor Ramon on the head from the top rope and started that feud?
Was that 94? I feel like Kid was already, did he work a...
That was the 96 Rumble.
96.
Yeah.
Because Kid was doing the baby gimmick with, didn't he have a baby bottle match with
Ramon? Yeah, we watched that for a premium episode.
Yes. Go neckbreaker.net/premium. Thank you, John.
Did we?
Do you remember watching that as a premium?
I was.
You tell us.
I was the drunk one that night, guys. I was the one, yeah.
John was on the floor that night.
No, that was the night before we went to the Death Fest.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I think either that or we did an ECW one that night.
Good memory. HBK dropped the IC title. So he won it on the ladder match.
He didn't drop it.
What are you talking about?
He just said, all right, whatever. There you go.
I got jumped. Here's my Pele jacket. Take this, Dean. I'll never forget the Pele jacket. It was so fucking dumb.
So what? I think the story was Michaels was out at a club on Somas, fucking partying up as usual. Michaels style. We called the Michaels special. Somas and vodka. And then...
beat up by anywhere ranging from 3 to 45 Marines.
So Vince McMahon on TV says about 12 to 15 to 45, right?
Rough, you know, 2-4, you know, 78. Could be anyone.
But in reality, probably two? Maybe three guys are involved in the scuffle?
Imagine if it was just one guy. Like, he was like the Punisher of wrestlers.
Just
in the
one,
90s.
One skinny Harley dude. Race. Yeah, right. So Michaels gets beat up the night before pay-per-view, I think. Right? Because they're out partying.
Shawn Michaels just told Vader that wrestling was fake.
Michaels then goes out. Does he forfeits the belt. Does it go to Dean Douglas?
He surrenders it to Dean Douglas,
and
who
then
immediately loses it to Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
Exact same night.
Yeah.
Well, same match,
right there and then.
Same
here.
5 minutes later.
Yeah.
God, that was so click like. Oh, Dean,
I'll just take that from you,
Dean.
They did not like him, so.
No, of course not. Dude coming in from ECW.
Who's been shit talking everyone.
The whole click and everything. Oh, yeah. Of course they didn't like him. In Your House 5, I know I'm jumping ahead here. It's kind of one of the last bullets I had was Bret Hart and Bulldog in a bloodbath. You remember
that?
Yeah, that was the one with what's the Bulldog married one?
Diana Hart.
Diana. She was out there.
She had like that. She was looking good in that match.
I remember her looking good actually too. That's when Neidhart had come back and been heel with Bulldog too at that point, right?
They split the family.
Well, Neidhart was back with Owen before that too, like in and out. So he was already heel, and then he went with Bulldog when he turned heel.
Right.
But yeah, that was. But I don't remember if it's a good match. I remember a lot of blood.
Oh, but it was Bret and Bulldog. I mean,
they
knew each other just like Bret and Owen or any of those four could.
Yeah.
Okay, any of those three and maybe Neidhart could.
Dude, having a black
together.
Box was awesome because I definitely haven't rewatched it since the night it happened.
No, that was a blood. I think Bret bladed. I'm sure he bladed.
Absolutely,
real good on the guardrail. I don't think he was supposed to, but he said, "Fuck it, it needs the match. You know, needs it for the match." 95. Anything else? What do you think? WWF wise. You get the characters, stuff like
that. I just think of them giving the belt back to Bret Hart just to job it to Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. That's probably like the one thing I remember about 95 more than anything else.
So Diesel, Bret went over Diesel at Survivor Series?
He went over. He rolled him up in a small package. Then Diesel picked him up and powerbombed him twice.
After the match, right? Yeah, because he was pissed and they were trying to make him a kind of tweener. So this is kind of going into like Roman Reigns territory a little bit.
They're trying to make him a tweener and then he went to WCW and changed the company by being a tweener.
No, he was more or less a heel at this point. He was wrestling against Taker.
Taker at Mania.
So Taker was the clear babyface. And
in 96, he turned heel. Or late 95.
Yeah, Survivor Series.
Yeah, Survivor Series, he started
dropped the belt and turned heel.
With Bret and then immediately worked with Taker the next year. It's kind of weird to see the Taker, Diesel, Roman Reigns. It's happening all over again. Right? Like, same
just
dude.
Just like WrestleMania 20.
Tall. Vince likes tall dudes who look athletic and have long black hair.
They have the picture of Roman and Dean with the World and IC title next to Diesel and Shawn with the World and IC title, and it's the exact same thing.
That's so weird. So weird.
Well, if there's any consolation, TNA is going to get real fucking good in like 2 years.
A year or two. Oh, boy. I got to change the world all over again?
Is it?
I mean, Roman's going to jump, and then who's the 2016 equivalent to Razor Ramon?
That's a good question. Not Dean.
No.
Dean's Piper. Well,
Piper-esque.
He's Possum. Piper Light. He's Diet Piper.
Diet Piper. He can't be Piper. He can't be Piper heavy in 2016.
No, no.
He told Mr. T that he was wearing the same change that his ancestors wore.
And Ziggler's not Ramon.
Ziggler. Maybe Owens.
No.
Owens is Vader. Yeah.
Immediately jumped to Vader on that one.
That's funnier than you think it is.
Pretty good. Owens. I can't even think of...
Owens is Vader. Vader is Owens.
I can't even think of anybody on the roster who's like, cool.
Ziggler. Ziggler's a good
one. We'll go with Ziggler.
It was Ziggler and Reigns go to TNA. They have a third member and no one knows who it is. And CM Punk comes out.
Oh my God.
John's booking the territory now. Oh my God.
There you go, Harris Brothers. Hail money. You'll have so many Harriet Tubman 20s.
Oh my God, I did not know that about them.
1995 was brutal. I mean, there's some highs, a bunch of lows.
Very top heavy.
Top heavy.
ECW, the mid-card blew.
I mean, ECW was killing it as a developmental system. They didn't know they were developmental, but they were. They made a ton of the stars ready for 96, 97. You had Pillman, you had Austin, you had Cactus Jack.
I mean, look at the roster. Like, what could they have worked with?
Who's they? WWF?
Yeah. I mean, they could have got better talent. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know. They had Jinsei Shinzaki. They could have used him much better.
Yeah. I mean, they had...
This was the 90s, though, so
they
we weren't ready for it.
I mean, they had
it.
Waltman at that point.
Government tattoos.
I mean, they had Candido.
You had... Candido was... Yeah, he was a star. He could have been a star, but no, they put him in a bodybuilding gimmick, or
which was still fine.
Fitness gimmick, yeah.
Which was like still goofy, but the matches.
It's tough to say, but the money in '95 was still wherever Hogan went.
Yeah,
that was Hogan sort of just justified the lay of the land in wrestling.
He still had a name. He was smaller. I feel like, I don't know what he drew for pay-per-views, though, in WCW. It was probably higher than what they were getting before.
Much higher, yeah.
But I don't know if it was still drawing well compared to if he was in WWF. I don't know. It's something I have to look up, but...
I think WCW got up a good portion of WWF's audience.
Oh, at that point, considering what WWF was putting out?
A good portion. So it was sort of split the audience, almost.
It kind of makes sense why they went with... I mean, they could have utilized Taker much better. I mean, he's working Bundy, and... Just think, that was Taker's...
A waste of Taker that year.
That was Taker's prime health-wise.
He had the face mask, right? Or is that 96?
He was working Yoko, right? Because Yoko dropped... No, Mabel. Who dropped that on him? Mabel or Yoko?
I thought Yoko did it, and then he came back after.
Okay, so that was either 94. I think 94 Survivor Series was with Chuck Norris. Yeah, Chuck Norris as the ringside enforcer. Why do I know this? I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch.
I completely fucking forgot about that.
Do you remember that?
I remember
casket
that
match,
well.
I think.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Couldn't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I know Chuck Norris worked a casket match with Taker and Yoko in 94. 22 years ago. Kill me.
A drink on me the next time we go out. If you can tell me who the sponsor of SummerSlam 95 was. One guess.
Stridex.
God damn it. I thought we'd at least get karate fighters first.
Pour a drink on
me. I was trying to think of that, and I was like, oh, man, it's either Ico Pro, karate fighters.
He said 95. I was like, oh, I could see. That logo was everywhere on the placement of SummerSlam. Every shot had that.
Yeah.
95, man.
The In Your House 3 is because, you know.
Okay, Google 1995 WWF roster.
That was where the dudes with attitudes faced Owen and Yoko. Every belt was on the line. Like, we didn't know how that was going to turn out.
All right, so, like, the roster of 95, we asked who could we have put on top or who could we have used. I mean, you had Diesel, Bret Hart, Taker, Ahmed Johnson, Razor Ramon, Savio Vega. You had Sid. You had Psycho Sid. They could have, I don't know, maybe utilized him better. He was a big dude. He was over, right? Or he was there, at least.
Vince loved him.
Owen Hart. You had Waylon Mercy, who got hurt way too early.
Yeah, I don't think that was so much misutilization as he got hurt too quick.
Otherwise, he would have been money.
They had Marty Jannetty.
Well, he already ruined the ECW roster, so you might as well bring him up. But that Waylon Mercy character, holy shit, that was ahead of its time. Looking at Bray Wyatt now, you're like, oh my God.
You know who they had? They had Well Done.
Yeah, they did.
What about Techno Team 2000? Was that later?
I'm sure that's right around the same time. They had they have Positive Streets Fatu.
I think there's a Young Bucks Techno Team 2000 joke to be made somewhere. I feel like somewhere. You can... Instagram.
Yeah, Techno Team 3000.
Something there like you go. That. Super Kick Party 2000. I don't know. You had Fatu. You had Jean-Pierre Lafitte. He was working with Bret for a while there, wasn't he?
Yeah, they're both.
Rad Radford.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Because we're all looking at the same roster list, probably. You had Mantar.
No, I'm definitely looking at pay-per-views.
You had Jimmy Del Rey. Buddy Landell was on the friggin' roster in 95. Heavenly Bodies. Again, this is what they had to work with.
Well, Jimmy Del Rey was part of Well Done.
Del Rey was in the Heavenly Bodies.
Heavenly Bodies, that's what it was. Yes.
Dr. Tom.
You had Bam Dr. Bam Tom. Bigelow. You didn't do anything with him. You didn't do jack shit with Bigelow.
Well, when they had a meeting, the only guys they said they wanted to have going forward was Bam Bam, and everyone else was up in the air.
Was that Diesel?
What's that?
Who said that?
I think Connor said that. I don't know why I said it. I did.
They had Duke Drosy. They could have done more with Duke Drosy, you know? He could have, like, picked up more people's trash and
he could have
had feuds with them.
Had him turn heel. It says he only does recycling now.
The heel trash man.
He pulls the Daniel Bryan.
1995. Oh, my God. I think that's about it for 95. Unless you guys can think of any other... You know what? I was going to say, I bet we could fantasy book a few, but maybe we'll save that for another time.
I mean, it's not, you don't even really have to fantasy book one. You just tell them to go fucking longer with one. Have a feud of any consequence.
Of any consequence. Uncle Zeb was on the roster this time, too.
Yep. Cioni.
They had a ton of managers. You had DiBiase, Cornette, Paul Bearer, Harvey Whippleman, Mr. Fuji, The Roadie, Lou Albano, Afa, Shinja. Uncle Zeb, Sonny. That was a lot of managers.
How many of those people, two of those managers, would manage the same tag team, though? Because Captain Lou and, was it Afa or Sika? I can't remember which one you said.
I said Afa.
Captain Lou and Afa managed the head shrinkers.
Yes, they did. And Fuji did.
Cornette and Fuji managed
Yoko.
And Owen.
And Owen.
Yep.
And eventually Vader.
Yeah, Cornette was going out there Heenan style 2-3 times a night, which I miss. I miss managers doing that.
You don't see it anymore. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye.
Bye. You know, that's 1995 in a wrap. I think WWF was in a down period, working their way back up. WCW was in full Hogan mode.
It was, well, yeah.
Full of Hogan full and friends. Hogan and friends, whatever you want, sir. May I have another? And then ECW was killing it. Really good year for ECW. So that's going to, let's fast forward to 2016. Again, thanks for your support. We like doing these random themed episodes, just shooting the breeze, getting all nostalgic, especially when we don't have a guest for the week. Drive-by Bukkake plug, Friday, June 17th. It's official.
It's official.
Back in the saddle again. Nashua Elks Lodge, Nashua, New Hampshire. It's at 720 Daniel Webster. It's a Friday night. It's with dysentery, parasitic ejaculation.
Conforza,
Begath and Nephilim, Grind of the Dead. There's another band as well, maybe two others.
There's one TBA.
There's a lot of bands, but it's going to be a party. It's really,
I feel bad for everyone that plays after us, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah, we're gonna kill it.
I'm not kidding.
Standing room only. Come out Friday, June 17th. We don't play a lot of shows. It's our return show. It's been well over a year. We've got a 4-piece lineup, and we're going to have a good time. Guitar tracking started this week. Artwork is in the works as well. We're going to get this vinyl out this year. It's going to happen. Parasitic, you dropped a couple of, I'm sorry, Kasaris Entertainment System dropped a couple of songs this week on SoundCloud.
Yeah, just uploading some shit. Got bored over the weekend. Needed to fill some time. So I recorded Raven's theme.
Why not?
I text John. I go, oh, I have this already written out for some reason randomly. So I'm going to go record it and see what happens. And so I made it a KES song.
And then I, as I'm wasted off my ass at a rest stop, put those fucking two together. And then I'm like, oh, I should probably sit down for a little while. I'm like, let's check my email. And I'm like, oh, Raven's WCW theme. That was a good 1.5 minutes of me forgetting what the fuck I was doing.
Boy. You get yourself a long weekend coming up here for some drinking, and
yeah, it won't be Melvin's drinking though.
Oh yeah, you went to Melvin's and
Melt Banana.
Any shows lately, Chris? You been to?
The last one I went to was the Cannabis Corp show.
Oh, Brighton Musical.
Yeah,
right on. I saw been a couple of shows. Stream Theater was last night. They played The Astonishing, and that was terrible. Hated it. Couldn't stand it. Well, I was expecting the old fart syndrome. You go in there, and everyone's like, oh, what the fuck, you know? But everybody knew it. They had enough time in advance. They knew what they were getting into. But I joked, we were with the Pathogenic dudes. Just we sat. Somehow we bought our seats a row behind them, behind their seats. Like, you couldn't have booked that shit. It was Justin, Chris, and we're talking about, imagine if, because the banner up front at the Orpheum just said Dream Theater. It didn't say The Astonishing Live, it just said Dream Theater. So for any of the walk-up crew who just, oh, I'll go see Dream Theater.
Yeah, there, but they're not going to draw anyone just walking in. I'm just like, oh, Dream Theater? I want to see them. That's not going to happen.
I could see that, but on that road in Boston, I could see walk-ins. Because it's right in the Orpheum, right there in Tremont, right near the park.
God, I'm not going to try to do a Christopher Walken impression again. Didn't come out good. Edit!
Cut. If there was ever a venue to have walk-ins, it'd probably be that one, because it's so busy around that area. But the college kids and stuff just walking through. Oh, Dream Theater's here tonight. Again, it's probably 10. But I was, the joke,
I don't believe you.
The joke was, if there was 10 people who were college kids and saw a bunch of metalheads and say, hey, let's just go to a show tonight. When they walk into that set and they only played their new album, I could see those people being like, what the fuck? What's going on? But everybody else knew. We were all in on the joke. That's it. 1995. Appreciate the support for sticking around. We're going to have some more guests coming up. We have 5 episodes till episode 1, goddamn 100. 4 now. So we're going to plan something cool for that, I think. Neckbreaker.net after the show to grab some merch and premium episodes. At NB Podcast, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we have some dumb comment, and you'll see some guest announcements on there as well. And thanks for listening, guys. Anything you'd like to add? Can we wrap things up? Any other plugs?
Fuck off, everyone.
Kurt Schilling got fired from ESPN.
Yes. Yes, that's the greatest. He's going to go work for Fox News and Fox Sports now.
Is he working for Nesson right now? I mean, he probably already got a Nesson gig.
He might get the Nesson gig.
Fucking Nesson will hire anybody. Cheers. And beers. Did I expect to talk about sports in the last second? You guys always get it right in there, don't you?
Gotta sneak it in.
Cheers and beers.
The time has come. The episode is finished. And now you're craving some live wrestling and metal events. And the best way to get your fix is by grabbing tickets from our friends at Click It Ticket. Google Click It Ticket, add some wrestling, metal, or sporting seats to your cart, then enter the promo code NECKBREAKER at checkout for an exclusive 5% discount. Once again, Google Click It Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, enter NECKBREAKER, and you'll get your 5% discount. Show's over, fucks.